This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to Body Count, a history podcast.
Now we're recording.
Hello, and welcome to Body Count, the podcast where we believe history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes, and a proud member of the Big Heads Podcast and Network. We're here to show you you don't hate history, you just hate the way it was taught to you. Only rule, when we choose a topic, someone, or a lot of the case, someone usually dies. A lot of someones die. So we give you the series of events in a narrative fashion, and by the end, correlate said story with current events. We are not PBS, Ken Burns, Dan Carlin, etc. So if you want that Hoover-esque, just the facts, ma'am, history podcast, we are not going to be for you. So there will be analysis and opinions. Know that those opinions are our own. Know that, well, today, know that I'm holding my co-host verbally hostage. So direct your hate, I guess, at me for this episode, folks, where it belongs. So it is said that tragedy plus time equals comedy. So know that we are going to giggle at some occasionally rough subject matter. We're not actively trying to offend anyone. So you've been warned. So I'm the host today. My name is Bethany Skelton. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm joined by my co-host.
Your co-host, Jessica Manor. That's right. And I want to reiterate to all of our listeners, if you've got a problem with today's episode, I did not do the research. I did not do the writing. I did not pull the sources. If you want to destroy it, DM Bethany,
which
don't DM me.
I will end up just crying, so probably don't do that. I'm more sensitive than Jessica, so.
To be honest, I ignore most of your DMs.
Honesty, straight honesty. Honesty here at this Body Count podcast.
Best policy I hear through the grapevine.
Okay, so of course, as usual, a lot to get to today, but of course, housekeeping. We are part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network, a great collection of podcasts. We are super, super excited. So go check them out on social media. If you love the show, please go and give us those 5 stars on iTunes, or subscribe or follow or like wherever you listen to podcasts on your platforms. You can say whatever the heck you want. It's not to make us feel good, although...
Oh, we do feel wonderful, we do when we get our rave reviews.
But it does help us out on the business end. So to that note, we are about to get to our... We're about to get our Patreon, actually, back up.
Yeah, so we are.
So I know we've been kind of at a hiatus.
We'll wrangle Warren back into that for some interviews.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll pull several people. We'll do a bunch of different
things.
He's
a media whore. You'd be surprised how many academics we're going to find that are media whores, guys. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
They like it.
I've already got them lined up. They like it.
So we will put up some bonus episodes, interviews, and body counts, etc. So we'll be sure to keep you updated via social media when that is ready to go. So follow us on our social media, which we will plug at the end, because we are going to force you to listen to our bulls.
Oh,
I said bulls. Do you like that?
And we have so much bulls, because we're finally right here side by side doing this for once instead of across the country.
Which this is the first time, not the first time, but it is the first time in almost a year. Well, not quite on a year, but last time we recorded something together was literally almost a year ago, and we were in Georgia. This time we are in the great state of Virginia.
Virginia.
In the country where our kids have discovered bear tracks in your backyard. And they are obsessed. They've created a club called the Bear Killing Club, which I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't either.
I don't really know.
You know, I just called the National Forestry Service, and I thought that was the end of it. But the children just simply aren't going to let it go.
Supposedly, they found claw marks on a house and more prints, and they've got a trap they're going
to
set.
To be fair, did break our back fence.
So there, it's not a lie. There is bear tracks in your backyard, but...
Our kids are now obsessed that bears are going to somehow be able to enter this house.
And they've got their weapons and their traps ready to go. That is country living, folks.
That is
country living.
They've got toy broomsticks ready to attempt to beat a black bear. Yes. You know,
and I think they're going to do it.
But again, I feel like we're going to have to watch a lot of Planet Earth tonight and be like, this is why we don't attack nature children.
This is why we stay inside at night in the country.
In the country.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, let's go ahead and just get her done.
Oh, I'm excited.
Get her done.
Oh, my God.
So, as you can tell, I did start this off with saying that I'm the host because we are doing our second backwards body count, which just means I did all the research, which is kind of interesting, but you know, Aunt Jessica's in for a while. Right. So Jess, let's go.
I say that I love that Bethany's research includes like really great articles written by historians, but mine's like 10 pounds of archival shit that's put into this weird,
exactly. Because here's the thing, Jessica.
But here's what pisses me off is the historian has already used that archival bullshit to go but for some reason I feel compelled to do the real work. And then when I hear the backwards body counts, I'm like, well, fuck, those are just as good. Oh, sorry, Curtis. Those are just as good. What a waste of my time.
Exactly. And this is what I'm going to get into, because Jessica, I did have way too much. Way too much fun with this. And honestly, I don't even know if that's an okay thing to say when we're talking about people dying, but whatever, right? You know?
So, not the worst thing we've said on this show.
Or not in recording.
Nor will it be.
So I did get a taste of what you get to do, but I'm just less anal about it. So, but don't get me wrong. I did dig through research and double check my facts, just like you taught me. And everything, but you are way more uptight when it comes to this stuff. But that is because you're an actual historian. So I'm not hating on you. I'm just saying I didn't want to tear my hair out or break down and cry.
Here's
at any
the thing
point.
That I love, though. I'm always like, yes, I'm an actual historian until I meet one that's truly gifted. And then I'm like,
wait, maybe I'm not.
I'm the Morty to this, Rick.
All right. So, Jess, I'm going to take you back. We're going to go back to 1903.
Hold on a minute. I've got to visualize. I'm getting the flux capacitor.
Okay, get your flux ready. Capacitor.
I'm getting in the DeLorean.
Mm-hmm. Plug in 1903. In fact, December 30th, to be exact. So December 30th, 1903 in Chicago.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay.
I'm there.
Freaking cold. Cold, like real cold. Cold, like really, really cold. But who cares, right? It's the holiday season. People are out dressed to impress. They're going with their mom or their, you know, uncle or aunt, their relatives to downtown Chicago to a new and beautiful theater, because they're going to see their hometown legend named Eddie Foy. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. Am I saying it right? Foy, F-O-Y, Foy. Okay. So he's in an over-the-top musical. I mean, hello. Everyone knows how we feel about musicals.
Oh, right? Do they ever
buy musicals? So this is actually a brand new, only 5 week old Iroquois theater, which we did have a discussion on how we would pronounce this,
but we didn't want to go offensive,
right? We wanted to make sure we said it correctly.
Iroquois. But we're gonna go with Iroquois.
That's where I'm going with. So this is a five-week-old Iroquois theater. So the musical being performed is called Mr. Bluebird, and it's full of actors' masks of different animals, men in drag, lavish costumes.
I'm already fucking into
ballerina it. Ballerina suspended above the stage, swinging like a tree. Again, this is totally our scene.
You just described why I would have been there on
yes,
the day.
Yes. We would have been like, let's take our children and go. Like, this is totally what we would have gone and done. So, of course, the first...
Wait a minute. Taking our children? No, we wouldn't have. We would have found babysitters. Or, since it's 1903, we would have had the help do it. And then we would have gone to the theater. And then we would have gone to the bar at the theater, and we would have gotten like plastered to experience everything wonderful this was going to be.
Yes, we would have had just absolute high expectations, a great time. It sounds like a great time. We would have totally been there.
Bangkok. Oriental City.
However, we're going to soon find out why we should never have been there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So the first half of this musical actually went off without a hitch. The audience was, had been fully engaged, loving every minute of what they had paid for.
Who wouldn't?
Hello. I just described
the men are in dragon elephant masks. Like
hello. And it's a musical, so people are singing, dancing, being crazy, lavish. I love it.
You're just all about my ideal Saturday night.
Exactly. So this is, however, the second half of the show, this is where things get kind of shaky. Okay, so the show started, the second half of the show started about 3:15 p.m. When a stage light popped.
Oh.
Okay, and it sparked and it ignited a nearby drapery. Oh. So now I've been in many shows myself, and things like this happen like all the time. Like
there were much safer light fixtures.
Right. But there was nothing out of the ordinary for these professionals. They knew exactly what to do. I mean, hello, this isn't, again, like they said, this isn't the first time that something like this would have happened. So they have.
In Texas, I believe we would say it ain't their first rodeo.
This is not their first rodeo. It really is not. So they knew exactly what to do. They tried to stamp out the flames with a primitive retardant, but it starts to spread quickly to all, of course, the flammable decorative backdrops. Not good. Okay. But hey, the show must go on, right?
Yeah, but
who
I'm
cares
also
if the scenery's up in flames? Let's go.
Here's the problem. I'm also going to be sitting there like high as a kite, like that guy in Hamlet 2 going, yeah!
Is this part of the show?
Yeah, is this part of the show?
Some great special effects.
It's the best shit I've ever seen. Burn it down.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, okay. So being the diva star he is, Eddie Foy, who was actually all dressed in drag for the next upcoming scene.
That's my girl.
Mm-hmm. Comes out because the audience notices things aren't exactly right.
What? Was it the flaming set that did him off?
Or was it his flaming outfit? I don't know.
I
don't know which
was
one.
Was it the fact that he was a 1903 version of Elton Johning it?
Or was it
which one was more
Inferno
fire?
Inferno of the background. it does not say, but I'm assuming maybe a little both. Let's just go with a little both. But so what he does is he tries to actually calm them all down, tells them all to stay seated, and he even asks the orchestra to play louder and longer to try and give the stagehands.
Just like the Titanic.
Yeah, to, it really is. Oh my God, I never thought about that. But he does it because he wants to give the stagehands some time to get the fire under control. How considerate of him.
I don't know what any of you know about orchestras or their players, but if they start to really outdo what their pay grade is, it's probably a good time to run.
Yeah. Again, history. So these stagehands have been through this before because they attempt to lower a supposed flame retardant curtain. But what happens? It snags. Now, I call it a supposed flame retardant curtain because later, through the research, I found out that it actually wasn't one at all. In fact, it was made of material that would have actually made the fire worse. So, yay that it snagged. Like, I don't know. Like, am I supposed to be, like, happy? Like, this
I think
pump?
We have to be.
We gotta have to. Like, especially if you find out that the thing would have actually made it worse. So, it's a good thing it snagged. Either
based
way,
on the fact that we're covering it,
yeah.
It's gonna get bad, so it's probably good that the extra like flammable curtain probably did snag.
Yeah. So by now it is pretty obvious that the fire is not slowing down and it can't be contained at all. So what would any of us do if we were sitting in the audience watching all this?
I've already fucking run for the door.
Get the hell out of Dodge, sister. Like, bye, Felicia.
Exactly. I am.
Like, I'm out.
I've attached my kid to my back. I am nominally concerned about my husband.
I'm throwing bones,
but
I'm
getting in it.
I would have done that before he even came out and been like, calm down, everything's fine, nothing to see here.
Fuck you, Elton John, I'm running.
Exactly, okay. So the crowd does exactly what we just agreed and would do, and they all jump out of their seats and just head for any visible exits. The problem with that is that most of the exits are not marked and covered by curtains because it was visually more appealing.
Oh, sweet Jesus. So yeah. Now we've hit a triangle waste fire problem.
Or people met their fate by locked metal accordion gates. So, So these gates were actually there because the people that, you know, the poor people that didn't have as much money, and they were
the
up
poors, in, the poors, we call them the poors.
The poors, they were up in the nosebleed sections. They actually put the poor people up in the balconies and put them up there. So they would put them up there, and because they would occasionally try to sneak down to the upper class area to get a better view, I mean, that couldn't happen. How dare they mingle with us, even though we're all watching the same show.
Untouchables. Stay in the balcony.
No, no, no. We have to keep the riffraff where they belong. So we're going to lock them up.
Oh, sweet God. It's like the land Titanic.
Even though we're watching the same dang musical, how dare you mingle with me?
You monster people.
You poor
people. Poors.
Okay, so there was a total of 1,700 patrons that were in attendance at this performance, with many more standing ticket holders that were sitting in the aisles, which of course ended up clogging very quickly. I mean, we're all about to make it a quick buck, so might as well just fill the entire theater, right?
Can we all say that maximum capacity is a good thing?
Right. And we're gonna get to that. We really are. So this scene of this went from like quote everything is fine, nothing to see here, to complete panic, to instant tragedy. Like literally within minutes, it just went, we're okay, don't panic. Then panic, then a tragedy. It was just boom. There was no in between. So while all this was happening, Eddie Foy was actually still on stage.
What a performer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a king. He's going out on top.
And he survives. This is a man that actually survives this too, because he later wrote in his memoirs about what he saw in the upper levels. And this is a quote. It was a mad animal-like stampede. Their screams, groans, and snarls, the scuffle of thousands of feet and bodies grinding against bodies, merging into a crescendo, half wail, half roar. Roar, half roar. Jesse, can you imagine seeing and hearing all this? Like, I would never be able to sleep at night, let alone write about it.
No, but I do like that he describes the sound as a crescendo because he's a performer to the end.
It doesn't matter. He's up there in
death. He brought it home. Even in the memoir of death, like, good for him.
You can picture it, like the way he describes it. You can just picture bodies grinding against bodies. Ugh. It went from like a small to a crescendo roar, like an animal. It's just absolutely insane. Okay, so all of this is happening. Ugh. Right, everything's going on. There's mass chaos, and the cast members realize that they are also in major trouble. So they also do what everybody else is doing, and they try to find an exit. Okay. They end up opening one of the rear stage doors.
Oh my God! And now it's one of my least favorite movies.
Yeah. So this
backdraft.
This is a wrong move. If you've ever experienced any kind of thing like this, or watched any sort of movie or anything, it's one of those things where it's a recipe for disaster. Okay, so after they do this,
those are our favorite recipes.
Oh, well, that's
show.
Why we
created this show.
So the backdraft from the door, like from the open door, causes this huge ball of flames, which is
shit,
exploded throughout the theater.
Wait a minute, everybody listen. That's me this time, because I'm not telling this story. I'm listening.
Usually it's me that's cracking the beer. I like how you popped that during the explosion part. That's a good one.
I was trying.
Oh, I
I'm glad
it.
You appreciated
I did appreciate
that.
Appreciate it. I'll cheers you all.
All right,
that.
Cheers.
So, okay, so this explosion happens, right? And it instantly kills many people.
Ooh, well, everybody in the right. path, right? Because it's
pretty,
like,
and it's a lot.
What
of-
I'm seeing is this massive fireball. Am I
mm-hmm,
correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the fireball doesn't go down into the, you know, rich people. It goes into the upper balcony.
Oh, of course it does.
So, I mean, these people can't get out of the balconies, of course.
Where everybody's living in a goddamn chain gang.
I shouldn't laugh at that. That would be weird. Why did I laugh at that? Maybe because I'm uncomfortable with what
anybody
you just
said. That has watched or watched, listened to this show knows that's the least offensive thing we've ever said.
I know. Oh, man. So it was so explosive. This is how explosive it was. It was so explosive that it actually caused one of the exit doors that people couldn't get out of to open. Like, it actually busted out a door. Which, thank God. Because
Thank God, because
it helped a lot of people out that were struggling. Because the doors
How
were locked.
How do we view that, though, ethically? Like,
there's a fireball. People died, but it blew up the door. So here I'm alive.
Everybody in the middle of the fireball most definitely instantly died. But here we are on the other side of the fireball with an exit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you give and you take. Don't spit your beer out, Jay.
I just took a big old drink and I almost spit it all in myself.
Oh, God. Oh, gosh. So there were some people that did manage to find that were in the upper level. They found some fire escape. But, of course, when they got there, they only realized that it lacked any sort of exterior ladder down to the ground. So, yay, they found an exit, but they couldn't actually, like, leave the building because there was nowhere to go.
Boy, like, that is a fight.
Like, hey, jump to your death.
That's a fight or flight I don't want to be in.
So,
like,
either plummet to your death or burn. Which would you prefer? The lesser of two evils, I guess.
Well, that's a real 9/11 question from you there. And I think I'm going to go with jump.
I'm going to jump too. I'm not going to burn. Jump. Well, this is where this is actually something that I found that was kind of a little hopeful. There were workmen in the building, like just across the street. And so what they did is they took like boards and made like this makeshift plank bridge from the exit to
See,
the building.
This is why we do this show, because when you think humanity is just as awful as it will ever be, like when we get like, in these disasters,
bam. People pull
it's
together.
It's kind of like, again, Triangle Shirtwaist says people finding ladders that they could at least extend up
do
as
something,
far,
try
do,
to
something.
Do something. And they're putting wooden planks on a fiery building.
And they
could have
just
people.
Been like, oh,
hey,
it's
sorry
on
for your
fire.
Life.
But they're like, let's do this incredibly complicated amount of work to try to save at least one life if we can. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? That's the upside of this.
Really
Even
is.
Though we do tell terrible stories, we do explore the mm-hmm. depths of the human spirit.
Which sometimes lifts us. Now, this actually did save a handful of people, but only after watching the first two attempt slip and fall to their deaths, which I'm kind of surprised because, like, if it was me and I watched the first two, could you imagine being the third person trying to cross this bridge?
Oh no, but I've learned from the first two's mistakes.
Glad you went first and second.
I see why you don't do this in Mario. Now I'm going, now I'm playing live Mario. Thank you. Thank you for going first. I know what to do now.
And second. Because it was the first two people that attempted that slipped and fell. And
well, you got to do it Jumanji style. You got a third life there.
I was thinking Mario, you know, you get three lives. We are awful people. That's why we have each other.
I love that when we're together, though, at least we say it together at the same time because we're both laughing at our own insanity right now.
We laugh so that we don't cry, people.
Yeah, because it is soul-crushing.
It is soul-crushing.
It has affected us. I want you to know, guys, it has affected us. We have nightmares about this shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, curse.
Curse.
So... All right, so within a few minutes, hundreds of bodies had died that were inaccessible in finding an escape. And most of them had died before even the firefighters had arrived at the scene.
Well, with the fire and the fireball and the trampling and the God knows what else.
Yeah. Like he said in his memoirs, like I said earlier, it was one of those things that went from... to panic to instant tragedy.
It went Hartford Circus fire real quick.
0 to 60 real quick. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. So this next part is actually going to feel super familiar with some of our other body count episodes because there was a diner next door and they used it for both a hospital and a morgue.
Well, there we go. We're back in familiar territory and non-morgues being morgues.
Yep. I mean, they transported whatever building.
And you know what? I understand that you got to do what you got to do. But also, I mean, if we don't have maximum capacity, clearly health inspection wasn't like on top of the list for diners either. Because I would imagine. Today, after you use a diner for a morgue, the CDC is going to be kind of all over that. But
yeah, I don't think it's going to be a diner after that. Like, hey, you want to go to a burger? Oh, hey, by the way, my daughter died on this table.
On this table. In full view of all the public.
With charred remains. Like that's the
whole part. And then we got to identify the body. Mm-hmm. So...
in this whole process... Doctors are desperately searching for any sort of living person in, like, literally what they call a sea of charred remains. Like, they are just making sure, are you dead? Are you alive? You know, and they're just burnt to a crisp.
No,
it's like the cookies you forget when you go outside to smoke a cigarette or something, and you forget the cookies in the oven.
But they're human cookies. They're soylent green cookies.
It is just sad and sickening. And one of the worst things I read in this actually was that there was a ballerina that was like hooked up for her scene to be a trapeze. She never made it out. Her thing got stuck. Well, it got stuck. She couldn't get unhooked. And so, she never made it out. Like, she was one of the performers that never made it out alive because of the fact that she was up in the up at the very top in like a little, you know, little cubby hidden because her thing was going to be a surprise where she swung through.
Yeah, and it all rises. Oh, God, that's so horrifying.
She was one that was, strapped down and basically died.
Just strapped. Oh, that's a war.
Yeah, that was the one. That was one that got me.
Did you want to get me with one? Did you want to get me this week? Like, fuck.
I wasn't trying to, but
I've been trying to generalize. But
yeah,
you just that makes me want to vomit.
I mean, it was.
And by the way, he can write all the memoirs he wants, but imagine those doctor's memoirs where
I'll talk about that a little later, but
okay.
You can find people, the survivors and families have written books and their own experiences about what happened and how it all transpired. And, you know, again, survivor's guilt, you know, it's there.
I'm never going to want to find that. So,
well, I will tell you the website where you can, just in case.
don't do that to me.
Yeah. So, obviously, this is a huge disaster. Over 600 people have died in this. This tragedy. So it's over 1,700, 600. It's almost half.
70, yeah.
That's almost like, half of the people
statistically
that are
getting real close.
Yeah. I mean, so family and friends soon start to descend on the diner. And of course, they're hoping that they're going to find their loved ones and somehow manage, manage to escape this fiery death trap that they went to. And of course, they're going to be very, very disappointed because of all the people that did lose their lives. And the loss of all these lives really actually made a huge impact on the upper middle class society at this time, because that's who the majority of the audience was. And not only that, but these patrons at the show were mostly the wives and children of some of Chicago's most prosperous businessmen and the, quote, flower of local society. So, I mean, like, we're talking about, like,
let me guess, their sisters ass was to throw a couple dollars at it, and they never thought about these poor poors again.
You don't feel very familiar. It'll feel very like, again, history repeated itself.
Oh, good.
Because
it's what we do here.
Yeah, and it hurt. It hurt them. It hurt them a lot because, and it's sad that it took, you know, upper class people for a tragedy. And we see that even today. We see this happen in today's society when something happens to people that matter in the lives of people, then things start to turn around. So of course the shock and the grief and, you know, the sadness, it quickly turned into absolute outrage. People were like, okay, what the F? Who's to blame? Why did this happen? Especially since they actually advertised this Iroquois theater to be like the Titanic, this opulent theater to be, quote unquote, absolutely fireproof. Like the Titanic is unsinkable. Okay. But you know what I mean? So if it's,
when are we gonna stop doing this in history?
Nothing is absolute, people. Nothing is absolute ever. So I mean, like, if that's how you're advertising, so how could hundreds of people, most of, again, which were women and children, die so quickly and rapidly? I mean, how was this?
That's a good question. How did the fire spread so quickly and hot enough to start burning bodies?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're about to find out, because after several days, the Chicago Tribune did write that there was just this list of regulations that had been ignored by the Iroquois construction.
I love one just... Boy, history is a big old fat repeater. Mm-hmm. This is why we say it, because it's the intro to a lot of our more horrific stories.
Yeah, exactly. So this list included things such as lack of an adequate fire alarm. Okay, so there wasn't a fire alarm. There was no automatic sprinklers. There was no marked exits, actually. None of the exits were actually marked or even seen because they were covered by curtains. There was not any suitable fire extinguishing devices. Now there were two large, what they call them flues at the top on the rooftop.
Yes,
like vents, basically.
Yeah.
On the rooftop where the smoke and flames could have vented out again. Like, that's what they were designed for, is to allow everything to escape. But guess what? They were boarded shut.
So even if people could have run from the fire, they're getting smoke inhalation.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. That's why we're like, well, how did all this happen in this huge theater? Why are all these people rapidly dying? Well,
smoke inhalation, and then the fire.
And then the fire, yeah.
Girl, what fun.
Yes. So, oh Jess, the task of proving culpability became hopelessly complex.
Oh.
Because, of course, there were many people pointing fingers at each other because they had all failed to carry out their duties that no one source could be concretely assigned sole responsibility.
And then they all got really good lawyers.
Right. And so it was one of those things where it was like, all right, who is to blame? Well, nobody wanted to take ownership. So the focus was primarily, of course, on the theater owners, the architect, and the city officials, who then quickly turned and pointed their fingers and even blamed the victims themselves.
Well, naturally, this is America.
Yes.
I'm glad nothing's changed.
Yes. In fact, the owners, his name is Will J. Davis and Harry J. Powers. So we got Will J. and Harry J.
Will and Harry.
They actually issued a statement to the Tribune that basically said that the audience should have remained calm and avoid any rush. And the architect even insisted that there were plenty of exits had people not become, quote, panic stricken and stunned. I'm sorry, Disco, but if you were in a burning freaking building, what the heck would you do? Stay calm, cool, and collected? No! Jesus!
No, because I'm the asshole jumping up on the seat screaming,
fire! As Eddie is going, sit down, ma'am. Everything is fine. It's just...
I'm screaming fire going, what, you think you're better than me?
I could see you actually doing that.
That would absolutely be my reaction. And that's the really sad part of the entire truth.
Right. But the reality of it is like if you were to sit down and think about it yourself, okay, Will and Harry, what if you had been in that building?
Well, they're never going to be at that building.
Well, of course not. They're, I'm just saying, like,
you're asking the 1% to attempt to sympathize with the 99, and
I know, which
it's not a problem we have today at all, guys. That's not why we cover the things that we cover. Never.
Oh, gosh. So everyone afterwards, of course, just wanted to wash their hands of responsibility and didn't want to be connected to any part of this absolute tragedy. Now, this was also, you're probably more familiar with this than I was, but this was during a time when the city was actually notorious with regard to laws and doing what you were supposed to do, patronage and payoffs and slipping money under the table. And
yes, welcome to
1903 Chicago. Well, in 2020 Chicago. What?
And what?
What?
Welcome to Cook County.
it's one of those things. So now, of course, the link to corruption was never proven in court, and the indifference of city officials to known violations contributed to the fact that the theater received only a cursory safety inspection before opening up to the public weeks earlier.
So that makes the American government ultimately at fault, and no wonder we're throwing piles of dirt on that smoking heap of bullshit.
Because technically, yes, they did do a preview, like a tiny inspection by the government. The government went in and did this, and they knew that there was problems, but they didn't do anything about it.
The government has problems carrying out its own regulations?
What? No, not our government.
History does not repeat itself.
And this is why we have a podcast.
And this is why we have a podcast.
Yeah. So, what I learned actually was that construction had been running behind schedule, but of course the theater owners were very quick to rush to open it before the busy holiday season, because I mean,
that makes sense.
Who would want to make money on people that are willing to shop and spend their money? So, what's crazy, what I learned, is that the mayor of Chicago, his name was Carter Harrison, he actually did order a review of all theaters just months earlier. But because he had a lack of support and enthusiasm from city officials, it meant that the investigations just, like, disappeared.
A lack of support and enthusiasm from city officials for the mayor of Chicago? Oh, it's such new things to all of us, isn't it?
Know this.
This is why we yell at you to learn history.
Learn! Learn from everyone's mistakes, please.
Oh, God. Sorry. This is a really funny aside. I'm several beers in. And Bethany has her laptop beside her, but I could not decipher the fucking words on it if you paid me $1 million right now.
Because I'm several beers in too, and I'm like really trying to make sure I follow along and not get lost.
Yeah, it's more difficult than it seems, isn't it?
Usually I'm the one.
It's harder than it fucking sounds. Yeah. It's not my job, it's your job. It's your job to keep it together this week. I can get as drunk as I want. I don't have to understand human language. That can be fucking written in Sanskrit for all I know.
Yeah, you can probably read, actually.
Some of it, actually.
Oh, God.
It would make more sense than the English language to me right now. Oh, and I heard it. We're getting there, viewers.
Okay, Rick.
I'm going full Rick with it.
Oh, gosh. Well, after numerous investigations, hundreds of testimonies, and 3 years of legal...
wait a minute. I gotta stop you because you're really gonna piss me off because I'm gonna know that nobody's gonna ultimately be held responsible.
I'm getting there. I'm gonna tell you. You're about to find out.
But the lowest man on the totem pole is gonna be held responsible.
Just wait. Let me get there. So there's all this investigation, testimony, 3 years of legal wrangling.
Intense masturbation. I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a single person was ever held criminally liable.
Oh, well, there it is.
Yeah. So many of the lawsuits from victims' families died out, becoming too expensive to maintain against multiple defendants, including the theater owners and city. So, Mr. Davis, one of the owners, was tried, but of course was never convicted. In the end, a batch of payouts went to families from the construction company that had built the theater, was the only concrete liability. That was it. But, yep, that was it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but this fire was one of a series of major headline-making fires in the early 1900s, and it was a catalyst for systematic changes to help prevent a fire of this magnitude. Sorry, my lips didn't move correctly.
It's all right. We all know I was super high the other night on the internet, and I was saying vociferously and tempestuously.
Okay, I'm not even going to attempt to say the word and embarrass myself in a recording.
But, to be fair, the recording sounded exactly like a woman like Bethany talking, which made it even
that
more
was
entertaining.
Weird.
It
was what she's talking great. About is we were trying to find out how to say a specific word. We asked Siri, and Siri gave the pronunciation, and I said, oh my God, that sounds just like me. It was kind of creepy.
Because Bethany didn't believe my pronunciation of the word.
Whatever. Anyway, it forced Chicago to take a hard, hard, long look at how they regulated large public spaces in the booming city.
Yeah, because Prohibition's coming, so they're going to want to do that.
Yeah. So within days, the city shut down actually all theaters in the area until they could be inspected and repaired to standard and national headlines, actually forced other cities across the country to follow suit. So cool. A bunch of people, upper middle class people die, and now we're going to actually take action.
Finally a win.
Awesome, a win. Okay.
Sort of.
So within a few weeks, Chicago's city council passed a new building ordinance by an overwhelming majority that compelled structural changes, including new standards for aisles and exits, the use of fireproofing solution on scenery, connected fire alarms, limits on occupancy. There's your occupancy. The elimination, like eliminating, completing the standing ticket holders, changes to sprinkler requirements, and the rules for rooftop flues, which are the vents mm-hmm. up at the top. So there was some good changes that came out of this. You know, it takes people to die for us to get our shit together, but you know, hey,
welcome to America.
We can only do so much.
You know what, I shouldn't say America, welcome to all of the history of the world.
Yes. So I'm actually
welcome to the world
to the world. So I actually am putting in here a really kind of interesting fun fact with Bethany. Among the changes were also the stipulations pertaining to the lighting of exits, aisles, and corridors, including the requirement that a, quote, red light to be kept burning over the exits during performances. Now, this was a thing that wasn't even a thought because it pulled away from the audience and performers were distracted.
To be fair, I am distracted by exit signs during performances.
Trust me. As a performer myself.
And I'm always like, can we just cover that up? But
now you know
now
why.
I know.
Yes.
Now,
because people
what
not,
you know, yeah. The more you know.
Because remember, these people, they just fled. And because there was no sign saying, here's your exit. Or the fact that they were covered up. And not to mention, they were pretty much locked. A lot of these exit doors were locked.
See, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a person that's clocking all the exits in a place before I even sit down.
Right, and we've talked about that.
Yeah,
we've had a discussion.
I just assume that I'm going to get shot someplace. So
we're trapped or something. Where's the nearest exit?
Yeah, because we do this.
Yes. I mean, and not only that, but a lot of these exit doors, they were actually locked too. Because they didn't want people from the outside coming in again.
They had the slide cages on them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys, you know what we're talking about. Like the slide cage, even if you got the door open, there was still,
even if they got it again, like people said, like once they found the exit or they found a way out, sometimes there wasn't an actual complete way out. Like, yes, you got out, but how are you going to get down or how are you going to get to safety? It wasn't there. It wasn't. There was no such thing. So these signs were to be illuminated by a source of light independent of the theater lighting system. And this is a critical point because the Iroquois Theater's electricity had gone out during the blaze.
Right, exactly.
So like, it's just one of those things like, all right, we can't have these exit
It's like
lights.
If anybody's ever been in a building that the power goes out, but you can still see the exit signs and everything.
You can still see the exit signs. Their emergency generators kick on. I mean, it happens anywhere you go. Especially, I mean, think about places like Walmart or anything like that.
I'm thinking about banks.
Or banks or anything like that. You still have a different light source connected off of something else that you can still see and get to safety. So, an April 1904 edition of Western Electrician highlighted the adoption of exit lights, which were also supplemented by sperm oil lamps. I found this funny. In the event that the current supply is interrupted,
So, didn't mean the whale, but I get where you're laughing.
It just made me giggle.
Whale. Sperm whale.
Jizz is lighting the exit. Right.
Jizz all over the exit.
Jizz light.
Jizz light.
Sorry.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, okay. So, anyway, although technology, of course, obviously has evolved, signs like these were the forerunners to the glowing red exit signs and theaters that we see today. The Iroquois fire also inspired the development of what are called panic bars. So these were actually placed on the emergency exits. Because remember what I said, like these doors were the reason why people couldn't even get out of the exit doors once they pulled a cart away and found it, they couldn't get out.
Emergency exit bar that you have to hit to get out.
And it might sound an alarm.
The alarms. It triggers a response from emergency responders faster.
Mm-hmm. And yes.
Don't do it for fun. People get very, very angry.
Exactly. So, I mean, because of the fact, I mean, these were put in place because, again, people, once they got to the door, they couldn't figure out how to open it. And then, of course, people are rushing them, and people are just piling up against the door to get out. So here's your exit, but you can't get it open, and now you're being suffocated to death by not only smoke, but by people that are smushing you into the door. Like, here's my life-saving exit, but I can't get out of it because of
the way. We're back to triangle shirtwaist. Yes. I'm being made sick right now.
Yeah. So these were placed on the emergency exits. Weirdly enough, this actually a guy named Carl Prinzler. He is a hardware salesman. He was actually going to attend that very performance of Mr. Bluebird on the day of the fire. He was going to go, but he didn't.
He dodged a bullet.
Yeah. So instead, he went on to work with his colleagues to invent the crash bar mechanism on doors that prevented entry from the outside, but
could be easily
open under duress. And generations of his first design have actually been used in public buildings for over a century.
Wow.
Yeah. So weirdly enough that he didn't attend, and because he didn't and know that he could
die.
We
can now all hit emergency exits because of this guy.
Yep, because of Carl. Good for you, Carl.
Good for you, Carl.
You're the best, Carl. Well,
cheers, Carl.
I'm going to cheers to Carl.
Carl
Prinzler. You the man, son. Okay. So we actually are almost done. I'm going to talk a little bit about I've got a little bit left here to talk to you about, but
hit us with the why it's important.
Well, I'm getting there. So while new laws and innovations would make theater safer, they continue to depend on highly visible tragedies, influencing the least tangible and most variable of factors like human behavior.
Because we're animals.
We are. The Iroquois Theater could have had all the necessary standard regulations. It could have had open flues. It could have had, viable emergency exits. It could have had everything. But the thing is what you have to understand is that it probably wouldn't have made a difference because unless there is vigilance and diligence and even things on the books that can be ignored by both builder or the architect or the inspector and the building owner, there was a lot of people, and people rushed to whatever they could find. And when
humans gonna be human,
it's human nature. When we see a problem,
we're gonna run. Fight or flight.
Fight or flight. And there
can't punch a fire in its face. So.
No, you can't. I mean, that would be cool. I'd love to see that. But it doesn't exist.
Somebody could punch a fire in the face.
It just doesn't exist. So. But there are a lot of people that need to be in compliance and do their part in order to have the kind of world where people are protected. And one thing is for certain that theaters today reflect the cumulative and painful lessons learned in tragedies like the Iroquois Theater fire. So it's just one of those things is like when you go to a place where you are compacted.
But also be aware.
Yeah, be aware. Constant vigilance, as Professor Moody from Harry Potter always said.
Constant vigilance.
Know where you are. In fact, that's what they do on airplanes, too. Here are your exits. Focus on the exits. You know what I mean? You know,
as much as I hate my civil liberties being violated by the TSA, I do have to say, like, they are very good about, here are your exits. Please pay attention. This shit is important.
It is.
Once you get on the plane.
Exactly.
Are you responsible enough to pull this lever and release this exit valve? Like,
important. Yeah, exactly. And so it does result, like I just said, like, we could have had that Iroquois, say they weren't back behind schedule on construction, and they had the ladders.
It wouldn't have mattered
because people would have climbed over each other on those ladders to get down and end up falling anyway. So there's just there really would have been no way to escape.
We all have to have sense in an emergency, because I agree a lot of this was a little bit of a sense. The sense of emergency and how you exit a place.
Right.
But you're also right. This is, I know that we all want to preach against any kind of regulation, specifically safety regulation. And some of you out there in our industry listeners are going, oh, I hate government. But there's a reason.
There's always a reason.
These are the predications to the shit that you don't want to do, that you have to do. Safely.
Exactly. And in the end, it will save your life and others.
I agree.
And, if Eddie Foy had come out and said, I would like you all to take, calmly, I would like you all to stand up very calmly. Just calmly, just row by row, just go ahead and we're going to take a brief, another intermission. He could have cleared out.
I can't blame him though. He was performing.
The show must go on. I've been in a dance competition before where my top kept sliding down, and I was always told, don't touch your costume. So I let my top go to titties, my belly, and I finished that performance strong.
Titties are not fire, though.
Titties are not fire. My titties are fire. Hey.
Your titties are fire.
Sorry, Mom, if you're listening.
Oh, my God. I apologize.
Sorry. But it is true. Like, it's one of those things where it's like,
This is another one that I don't feel like we even have to preach on what the modern applications are. Mm-hmm. I think they're very apparent.
Yeah, they are. They're very obvious. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, yes, other people fucked up. They did. They fucked up with safety and all that stuff. But I hate to say that we're not blaming the victims. We aren't. They did what any natural human instinct would have been.
And it should have worked. It
should have.
But the point is that we all got to fight the powers that be, that we're never going to be able to take a stand against that. No. I mean, I don't want to start a revolution here.
Well, and it's not like I can't picture myself in that situation acting any differently either. Honestly, if it was me that was there, I think I would have done the same.
As soon as I saw the curtain in the set go on fire, I would have had my family and left.
You know, but I mean, at the same time, we're talking about different.
Good for them though for being such theater lovers for staying.
This is great effect.
This is a wonderful performance.
And we're also talking about the fact that they had somebody that they knew in the show come out and tell them.
It's not his fault, though.
No, blaming him either. I'm not blaming really anybody, because there was a whole collective just doing the research.
It was a collective fail.
Yeah, it really was. What's disappointing, of course, and expected is that nobody took responsibility. Go figure. I mean,
of course not.
Why would they do that?
Blame the lawyers. They had good ones.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we are talking about not upper middle class. We're talking about upper class people, you know, that got away with a lot of skimming and city officials that never were prosecuted.
And some paying off of some government officials. Yes. And
It went round.
You know, basically the same shit that happened today. And you guys wonder why we talk about this. This is why we talk about the things we talk about, because
eventually I'm hoping we learn. Well, hopefully.
It's, as I've said, the atomic bomb seems to be the only thing that has taught us a lesson in life.
That's true.
That's a pressing end.
Yeah.
But you didn't come here to be happy.
Nope. Even though we're laughing.
Even though we're laughing because we're uncomfortable.
I did want to tell you that I got most of my information from the Smithsonian.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Iroquois Theater Fire actually does have their own website where you can find testimonies. You can find where people wrote books. You can find where... you know, a guy talks about how he lost his wife and all of his children.
There we go. I'm done. That's all I need. Yep.
You can find anything and everything.
You're not getting it from the Daily Mail. That's all I fucking get. Or Wikipedia, you know? Yes. That's all I care.
The going through the Bethany, Iroquois Theater website is a little hard. That was hard. That was a hard one for me.
You're clapping against your beard.
This is the second time I've gotten a clap on my...
It was worth it. It was damn good.
Well, thank you.
Well researched.
Thank you. I don't know. Again, like I said in the beginning, I don't know why I thoroughly enjoyed learning about it because people died. But you know, it was interesting.
Well, and it hit kind close of to home.
And it hit close to home because as a performer myself, I mean, if people don't know this already, I'm a dance major.
Which is why I thought it was very interesting for you to do this one versus me, like, clacking it out and being like, I don't care.
Yes.
Hashtag, I don't care. Yeah.
And see, I mean, I've been in a situation where I've actually seen a fire break out backstage and it got contained.
It happens.
It happens, you know.
Or, more than people think.
Yes. When things get snagged or people get hung upside down because the thing didn't work right. Know anything about that one?
A lot, you know. More than you think. But Bethany,
yeah,
I am so very proud of you.
Thank you.
Not only did you tell me the story, you correlated it to current events
and bell.
You deserve to bell.
I learned from the best, Jess, and that would be you.
Well, we tried. I'm not the best, not by any means.
Yeah.
You know what is the worst part?
In my book, you're the best.
You know what is the worst part about us having guests, though? You very clearly understand suddenly how far from the best I am.
I would never say that to your face.
And that's what matters. And that is what I appreciate about you.
And that's why we're friends.
You don't have to tell me. Just assume I am more clever than I am. But guys, we got to wrap this bad boy
up. I hope you enjoyed it. I do. I know I'm not Jess with all the archives.
I had no idea about it. What did I tell you when you started researching?
You gave me a different fire, actually. And I found one that started before the other.
I gave you the Hartford Circus fire. And that one's not as fun.
No, it was fun. No, it was. It was actually good information. But I just found something that actually had happened before.
And that resonated. I understand. You have to find what resonates with you. I get it.
Yeah, and not only that, but this was a pivotal one. And like I said, there were a series of different fires throughout the 1900s. But this one in particular, because of the fact, and I hate to say it, but a lot of upper middle class women and children died. That was probably a good lesson, though.
Mm-hmm. Because that so rarely happens, and change came because of it. Mm-hmm. So commentary on our society, guys. Yes.
It's another reflection.
We're not going to go into it. We're not going to rant.
That's a whole other podcast.
You're already in it. Yeah. It is what it is. So let's read ourselves out.
Yes.
First and foremost, please go and find our page. You can find it on bigheadsmedianetwork.com. We live there. We're shooting new promos.
Yes.
But you can also find all of our podcast episodes there. can find all of our podcast episodes on
iTunes?
Body Count Podcast or Body Count History Pod.com. They're all on there. And iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, where Google Podbean, Play,
yeah, whatever,
Podbean, whatever the hell that is.
Just type it in and you'll find us. We'll be there.
We'll pop right up on any platform that works for you.
Go find out the podcast on our social media.
You know what else I didn't know? We have merchandise.
We do have merchandise. We have shirts, don't we?
Yeah.
We got shirts
and hoodies.
Oh, snap. I like me a hoodie.
You can get those at bigheadsmedia.com. You can find it. Just search Big Heads Media Network. It'll pull up. You're going to go to the history section. And then we have merchandise.
Merch. Yeah. And you can find our podcasts on social media. Okay.
Body Count Pod on all platforms that we're on.
Instagram. And yes, it's still Facebook. It's still up. We're getting
Bethany's
there.
Redoing the Facebook. It's going to be different.
We'll get there.
Eventually. we'll get there.
Yes.
It's a lot. It's a lot for us. We live on Twitter and we apologize. We understand that everybody doesn't. You can email me with questions about the show or suggestions at Jessica Manor, MANOR. Like the house, not the behavior. Jessica Manor at bodycountpod.com.
And then you can also find you on social media.
Jessica B. Manor.
B. Manor on Twitter, Instagram. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me Bethany RN24, Bethany Skelton 5 on Twitter. That's about it, y'all. Again, heads up for our Patreon.
It's coming.
It's coming.
We're gonna have some fun stuff. Fun people and fun us and doing body counts that aren't necessarily body counts, you know, like kamikazes that survived and weird stuff that we don't get to do on the podcast. I promise it's coming. So follow us on social media if you want to be aware of it and be on top of it. And Bethany, I have to applaud you for a fantastic
episode. You're welcome.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I have no complaints.
I'm kind of smart.
Nobody said you were. Oh, my
Except
God.
For Except for me.
You're going to start a whole fight. You're going to start a whole thing.
It always does.
God damn it. All right. Well, we love you guys.
And I love you, Jess. Thank you.
And I love you.
We'll see you all next week. Bye.